Hey there, thank you so much for tuning in and checking out the show. I very much appreciate it. And if you like the show, could you do me a huge favor and head on over to the review section and leave me a nice review? A comment is nice too. 5-star review is awesome, but I'll take a 4 too if you got one. And stay tuned at the very end for some special announcements today, and I'll talk to you then. Enjoy the show. Three, two, and one. We are live. Welcome to the Pat King Show. I am your host, the Pat King. And today I have a special guest, good friend of mine. We go way back. So I'm really excited about this conversation. My friend Tony Maz, and we've been friends for a long time. We used to work together back in Gold's Gym days and been friends over the years. Both took the path of recovery. Mine was a little bit more resistant. But Tony has always been there for me to kind of help me along my journey. And, you know, one time we were in Vegas. We'll talk about that later. But so welcome to the show, Tony.
Hey, thanks, man. I'm glad to be here. It's always good to see you, man. You look phenomenal. I know you've been on, I can't remember what you were doing with your diet, but I know you made some major changes. What, about a year ago? Maybe a little longer?
Last spring. So yeah, a little over a year. So
yep. Yeah. So you look, you look better than you ever have, man. And yeah. You used to be pretty jacked back in the day. So,
I had to get out of that whole mindset, you know, the whole different shift in mindset, like living, like eating and exercising for longevity versus like being a meathead.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Well, and I think motivation changes as we get older, like, you know, it's funny. Like I used to always think discipline was like something to be shunned. Right. And the reality is, at least my experience is, you know, the more disciplined I am, the more freedom I have. So, you know, it's funny. I thought about you because I made a shift in my diet for no other reason than a girl in my office said she was going to start doing intermittent fasting. So I thought, yeah, I'll do that with you. And 48 hours later, it wasn't going as well for her, but I just stuck with it since June 1st.
Yeah.
And man, I've noticed I got, you know, better energy levels. So I'll wake up, you know, 3 days a week and I'll go run 5 miles fasted. I'll go lift in the mornings when I'm fasted. And what I've been surprised about is just my energy levels are good. Right. Now I've also experimented in anything over about 6 miles. I probably need to get some fuel in me. Yeah, man, like it's, you know, just in that. What I liked about it was the discipline of what I want to do is I want to go eat something right now. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stick through this because I made a commitment. And man, I do most days I do a 14-hour fast, right?
That's awesome.
Minimum of 12. And I just find the discipline of it has been, for me, it's just been, you know, that was a catalyst for other areas in my life. So it's been a really cool experiment for the last since June 1st. So
that's great, brother. Like I do the intermittent fasting. I started doing that last year, and same thing. Energy levels are through the roof. Like, you know, it's good for so many things. You know, it helped me in my battle with like overcoming my liver disease last year. I think that was a doctor doesn't say that, but I feel like it was a part of it. You talk about discipline with that. That's one of the things I teach people how to do is like, you can learn discipline. And one of the ways you can teach yourself discipline is start doing intermittent fasting and just start, you know, expanding that window a little bit. And like, there's nothing like, cause if you can go without food when you're hungry, you can do anything, bro. You know what I mean?
Well, like that craving lasts what, 10 minutes. It's kind of like everything else. Like, and then all of a sudden you're, oh yeah, I'm not hungry anymore. I'm just not thinking about food anymore.
Yep.
And so, But yeah, what happened for me, it's and we'll kind of back into some stuff, but around June 1st, man. So you know, we spoke back in July of 19. I made a switch to a different industry in August of 19, and there are some really high expectations of what I was going to bring to that company. And I got to tell you, man, I think over you know, the previous 11 years being a partner in a franchise out here, and then doing some real estate stuff that really investment real estate that came really, I was in a good spot. It didn't require a whole lot of good work habits. So I managed to have some success in that, but I didn't develop any good habits. And all of a sudden I ended up in this new career field where, man, you can't hide. And I just fell on my face. You know, I fell on my face pretty hard. This guy that I worked for, and I think I told you this, he used to work for me about 15 years ago. Great guy, just a knucklehead. You know, he was a salesman for me at one of the gyms. And, you know, I know you spent a lot of years in that industry. You know the type, and just, you know, likable, good looking, young guy, terrible life choices and the lifestyle, right? Just the lifestyle that a lot of those guys live. And so long story short, I absolutely should have fired him, but I liked him. So I demoted him, moved him to another club. We lost touch over the years. And I guess for about 3 years, he was recruiting me to come be a part of this organization. So I'll tell this story, because this is a funny story to me. So I remember seeing him on social media, and he was in a Maserati, just, you know, chatting about whatever he's chatting about. And I literally, my first thought was, man, I'm so proud of this guy, because his boss trusts him enough to let him drive his car.
Right.
That was my thought. Yeah, right? Yeah. And then I found out, yeah, no, it's one of his several cars. You know, and I thought, man, good for him. I just didn't want to spend, I want to see him. I want to spend time with him, but I had a lot of things going on, none of which was good financially. I was in a bit of a dire straits, and I just didn't want to go hear this guy brag about how awesome he is and all his money. And we finally hook up, have lunch. The guy that sat before me was not the same guy that I knew back then. He had, you know, grown and developed into you know, he's now a leader of men. He's a guy that I look to for mentorship, which is really awesome, right? Like, yeah. Like he has some experiences, and he's done some things, and it's not the money. That's a byproduct of these other areas of his life that have developed, and the money tends to follow. But yeah, man, it's been a real gift being able to work with these guys, and it took me a while to get there. You know, cause I came out, fell flat on my face, cause man, I had poor work habits. I had poor work, not my work habits. That's what was poor. I wasn't doing the things necessary to have the type of success. And the catalyst was, you know, I started on June 1st, started doing the intermittent fasting and becoming a little more disciplined, and that bled into other areas. I started doing something called the 5 F's. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I don't know if you've probably heard of something like this, if not this itself, but it's faith, family, fitness, faculty, and finance. And so at the end of every day, I just go back to my you know, list. I just write it out every night, and I give myself a ranking on one to 10. Yep. And what started as, you know, threes and fours are now, you know, most days eights and nines, and every now and then I'll hit tens. Right.
Yeah.
So it was kind of the foundation to building where I'm having a lot of success in my career field now. So we had this. So you're not the only king on this podcast now, because I won this sales contest called King of the Nation. And so I'm now referred to as king for the next year in our agency, which is a lot of fun. But I thought about that when I saw your name. I thought,
yeah,
changed mine to Tony King over there.
So what is it exactly that you're doing?
So the financial services, which is a fancy way to say life insurance. So right. I work for a life insurance company here, and we take care of labor unions, government employees. Mm-hmm. And the more I learn about the folks that I work with, the more I learn about, I had an opportunity to spend some time with the CEO of the, not of the, you know, my buddy and his brother own this agency out here. There's, you know, tens of thousands of agents across the U.S., but I got some time, I was able to spend some time with the CEO and VP recently on a hunting trip, and we went to his ranch. And the more I learn about the people at the top, the more inspired I am, because mm-hmm. there's a commonality of principles, right? These guys are, you know, you and I, with my old boss at Gold's buddy of yours, mm-hmm. Brian Murphy.
Yep.
I have nothing but respect for him. I hold him in very high regard. And man, I've made some good friends in the real estate business, but as you know, in most business, you know, there's some questionable, I want to be careful I say this. I don't want to say questionable morals. I think there's a lot of folks who fear gets the best of them. They make short-sighted decisions or decisions based on self that later put them in a position to be harmed.
Right.
And with this group of folks, I've been very, very pleased to find that these guys are doing things on similar principles that I try to live my life on.
And things outside of work. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Like, yep. You know, the guys that I work with, not all of them, because, you know, but they have happy marriages. They have great families. I've told you this. I've got a wonderful wonderful wife. I've got two really awesome, successful, smart, good stepkids. And the things that, you know, where I struggled, Pat, is my life's been good for a long, long time. Where I struggled was my career, right? Like I just kind of felt lost, and I never felt like I had a home after I left the gym industry. And the gym industry was great for a lot of years. And then that stopped. It was time for me to move on. It's like, so I went after something with that I was interested in, and the money was good. And then I realized I didn't really care for the business. And then the money stopped being good. So I was like, okay, now what? And so I feel like I found a home, which is
nice.
Really awesome. Yeah. I'm
really that's excited. Important. Yeah. Absolutely. That's really important. You know, I definitely, you know, understand the struggle in, you know, trying to find your home, you know, where you belong, what you're supposed to be doing. And when I left, you know, when I left the fitness industry, I mean, I left a few times, but, you know, this last time I left, I left when I got sober this last time, and like, I just left that all behind me. Like I just, that's who I used to be, but I struggled with a long time with finding a new identity, because that was my identity, man. Like the fitness industry, like all the glory that I got for being who I was, and like, you know, I was good at what I did. And so, you know, and it's just, that was my life, you know, that was my, not just my career, but, you know, the relationships we had in that industry and the friends. And it's not just a career, it's your personal life too. Like it takes over your whole life in a sense, you know, in some ways good, in some ways bad. But you know, when I didn't have that anymore, you know, I kind of felt lost. Like that was the biggest part of my life versus anything else, you know, that dominated my life more than anything. So, and when it was gone, you know, it's just kind of like wandering around trying to find myself and figure out literally wandering around, as you know, and, trying to find myself and find out, you know, what was next for me, you know?
Yeah, and you know, I struggled with, especially when I was working for the corporate side of the house. You know, it my ego just became in my priorities, right? So I think for a lot of people, especially people who don't have any type of spiritual foundation to their life, and even with the spiritual foundation, I found myself in this situation where my identity became so wrapped up in my job, and this is who I am, and it cost me a lot. It cost me relationships. You know, when I left Austin to come out here to be a part of this group in Houston, my phone wasn't ringing, as far like outside of work calls. Like, I had sacrificed a lot of friends, a lot of relationships. And it wasn't intentional, and it wasn't willing, it wasn't knowingly like I'm going to sacrifice this. It was just, I was so hyper-focused on what my goals were as far as my career. I was so hyper-focused that I got so much fear. And I just kind of lost sight of the principles of who I was and what I wanted to build my life on. And those are the times, man, where like, as far as at least in my sobriety, that I'm most vulnerable, because I moved out to Houston and all of a sudden I didn't have any friends out here that were in the program. I didn't have established roots out here. I knew two people, right? And I worked with both of them. Mm-hmm. It took me some time to really connect with, to dive both feet back in AA, and it was grace that kept me sober.
Yep.
And then same thing when I left the fitness industry, man, I things were going really good. And you and I have had this conversation and as far as everything on the outside of my life, but I had moved from, the Woodlands down to this downtown area of Houston. And my support system had changed. My career had changed. In the gym industry, man, I'd see all these guys who were sober, and I just had a routine and support system. And then I stopped praying, and I wasn't going to meetings. And man, it got really ugly, really, really quick. Like it got as I was very fortunate that I took a little bit of action. And it's not because I wanted to take action; it's because I was out of options. Like, your options are,
yep,
we're either going to drink and drug. We're going to cease to exist, or we're going to ask for some help. And I got some help. And all of a sudden, man, there was a pivot in my sobriety, and things went from really good on the outside, really empty on the inside, to really good on the inside. And it happens quick when you get back in the middle of the program, at least my experience, when I get back in the middle of sobriety. And now I wake up in the morning, I've got a 15-20 minute meditation followed by some prayer. I do some biblical readings, and then, man, I've got like, I'll do some A readings. I got like all these books that I read every day for the, we talk about mind, body, and spirit, right? Yep. And so that ends up being the foundation for everything else.
Yeah. A couple things that just kind of reminded me of something I wanted to talk about was good segue into the foundation that we have. You're talking about like being disconnected and not being, not going to meetings and stuff like that. But I think one of the things that, that I've been working on that I feel like a lot of people who are in recovery are missing is creating a foundation outside of the program. A lot of people struggle with God and they struggle with, spirituality, and they're realistically struggling with self, and with who they really are. And I feel like we're missing, this whole COVID thing was like, it's a blessing and a curse in so many ways. But I'm hoping that people see and realize that you can't rely 100% on meetings and people in meetings keeping you sober. You can't rely 100% on, things that are you know, things that you're used to, and it's good. It's good to be part of your routine, but you have to create another foundation, you know? And so when that, cause when all the, when the meetings are stripped away, everything's taken away from you, where does that leave you? Like, I kind of, it kind of reminds me of like all the times that I used to go to these, you know, seminars and Tony Robbins things, and, you know, I'd come home, I'd be on fire, or woo, you know, like, but after like a couple of weeks, you know, it was still just me. Yeah, you know, it's just like, okay, it all wore off, and it was just me, and I didn't have that to hold me and carry me and uplift me and motivate me every day. It's the same thing with a meeting. So I just hope that people, I hope that people see that, and they start focusing on other areas of their life and making other, because I know so many people over the years that just like, you know, 1, 2, 3 meetings a day, every day, everywhere they go, it's meetings, meetings, meetings. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But it, at some point we become dependent on that. Right. And when something like this, I mean, of course we could never predict that this COVID thing would happen and there would be no meetings, you know, or just Zoom meetings or whatever. But I mean, it's a good opportunity to learn and look at other areas of your life that you need to improve on, because at the end of the day, it's just you, you know. I always go back to the man in the mirror, you know, the little man in the mirror saying the quote thing. And, you know, it's always just you at the end of it all. It's always just you. So you have to look at, and I'm not saying it's, I'm not saying it has to be God. I'm not saying it has to be, you know, another spiritual program. I don't know what it is for everybody's different, you know, and I don't know what it is for everybody. I can't just generalize and say everybody needs to do this, but it's time to start, you know, working on our self-awareness and like looking at other areas of our life that we need a foundation in. And like the things that you mentioned was, you know, faith, family, fitness, faculty, and finance. You know, and I have 5 pillars that I do something very similar with. It's relationships, health, entertainment and fun, finance, and career, you know, those 5 things. So like, I have to, like, I look at them, you know, on a, not a daily, I have other daily things I look at when I journal, but like a weekly and over a monthly review of those areas. And I got a giant, you can't see it, but I got a giant, post-it with all those 5 pillars on, you know, that I look at. It's like right behind my computer on the wall, you know, and I look at it every day. So it's just generating that awareness and keeping all those things in the forefront of my mind, because every one of those things matter, you know, and we have to look at all areas of our life and look at, you know, other things that give us strong foundation, like community and relationships and, you know, whether it's, you know, whether you can't be in person or not, it doesn't matter. Build relationships, connect with people. Yeah, Zoom gets old. It's boring. It's like not the same. But you know what? What's the alternative? You know, isolating with nobody by yourself and, you know, slipping back into self-destructive behaviors and health. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, my experience in health and fitness. And, you know, I think a lot of people are missing out on things like, you know, optimizing your sleep and, you know, the food we put in our body and how it affects our gut and how the gut affects our brain and like our thoughts and our pattern. Like all this shit is connected, man. It's time we start looking at other areas of our life and have a holistic approach and not just focusing on one area, you know? And those steps are, you know, incredible and the principles are incredible. And, you know, I like to think I still live by them the best as I can. And I recommend everybody do it in AA or whatever program. Go through the fucking steps, man. Like, it'll change your life, you know?
Yeah, no, you covered a lot of things, but I agree. I think, you know, for somebody first coming in, absolutely, like 2-3 meals a day, if that's what it takes, yep. Man, because you're trying to build a new life. And really, man, for me, I didn't. It was the last house on the block. I didn't have any place else to go. Mm. So that's where I went. And, but what I saw, was, you know, there are folks who will not get beyond, cause then we get comfortable and then we feel safe and, but then we tend to block other things out and that becomes our, should be my number one priority, right? Because that's what I'm building my life on. That's the foundation. But that doesn't mean I stop existing, taking risks, going out there, putting myself out there. And so it feels good to help others. It feels good to be of service.
Yeah. But
at some point, it can be a disservice if I'm just trying to escape my life by hiding in those rooms. And so, man, I loved that you said, like, you know, you talked about the pandemic and, man, it, you know, cause I do Zoom meetings and I work with some guys and I sponsor some guys. I've got a new sponsor. And man, I'm careful at how much I share about this. Like I want to share the message, right? But man, my life's been really going well since COVID, right? My wife and I both got it back in June.
Oh, you did?
And yeah. And it sucked for about a week. I lost my sense of smell and taste for about 3 weeks. And I thought that was cool, man. I was like, I'm just going to eat, you know, healthier food, right? Because I can't taste anything. Man, but I'd be literally, bro, I'd be in there eating some food. Like, you know, this is after, like a week after COVID, I'm back to feeling 100% and I'm eating some food and I'm thinking, oh man, in my head, this is so good. My wife would yell from the next room, you can't taste that, and would just freaking ruin my meal, yeah, right? Because I totally forgot because I'd convinced myself how good this is.
Yep.
But yeah, man, so you're talking about those pillars you have on the wall. So I have with me is a planner, right? And so this daily planner, I take it everywhere, man. It's been on, you know, since July 1st when I started using it. So I take this with me regardless of where I'm going. It's been on two hunting trips, but it's been on in a couple of other weekend getaways, but I take it with me. It's got a morning mindset. It's got an evening journal. Yeah. It scores daily habits. So it's got, and then it has my tasks that I need to go through that day. And it just kind of keeps some discipline in my daily life. And so there's all these little things that lead up to having what I would consider a successful life. And, you know, you talked about those five pillars, the first four, you know, at least in my belief that actually my experience has been, well, I'm taking care of those first four, the faith, family, fitness, and faculty, right? My career, when I'm taking care of those first four, the fifth one will take care of itself.
Finance
will take care of itself.
Yep.
Absolutely. And then the last thing that came up when you were talking about that, man, like I work a lot of hours right now, man. Like I'm working a lot of hours, but I look back because at the end of the month, I do a little, it's just a month. There's a weekly review and a monthly review. And so, you know, a few days ago, I wrote down at the end of the month all the things. And it has, like, you know, some things that we're really, yeah, really grateful for, some things that happened that were cool this month. And it's phrased a little bit differently than that. But, man, it's like it's three things that it had three things that happened last month that you thought were three great things that happened to me last month. And so I wrote down three, and I was like, oh, and then this happened. Oh, and then this. And so all of a sudden, man, I've got this list because I had a really great September, right? Mm-hmm. I had a really great August. And so what I found was, although I'm working more, because when I was doing real estate, it was around 25 hours a week, and I was not happy. I thought if I just had more free time, I'd be happy. And so now I have less free time, but I'm far happier. And when I'm not working, the things I'm doing are so much cooler, right? Like I'm being invited to these other things. And so my life gets jam packed. And so I'm working a lot harder, but my off time is a lot more fulfilling. And I'm doing things that really I'm doing the things now that I want to do when I had all that free time and I had some extra cash in my pocket. And I just didn't know what to do with myself, you know? And so, what I find is that when I keep in the focus for me, is always to be of service, right? Mm-hmm. And that means, I started tithing a few months ago, and it talks about, man, there's immediate blessings that come into that.
Yep.
You know, the guys that I work with, man, my boss and I were driving around on a Saturday. This is a year ago in October. And, you know, he's a guy, he's 35. At the time, he was 34. He doesn't ever have to work another day in his life if he doesn't choose to. And instead, on a Saturday, he's working with me. And it was a hot day. He has to wear, he's got a sleeve of tattoos. He's got to wear a long sleeve shirt now because we got a bunch of tattoos after he had some success. And so we're, you know, from 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. on Saturday, we're out there just grinding, and he's with me, and I'm thinking, man, I'm so grateful that he's taking the time out of his day because he doesn't have to. And we talked about God, and we talked about spiritual things. We talked about the way that you and me or another person of the program would talk about it. And then he just stops me, and he goes, "Hey, man," he goes, when did you get this relationship with God? And I was like, "Oh, dude, it's always been there. Like, since I got sober, January 14th, 1996, right? It's, since then, it's been constant growth, sometimes a little bit back. And then, but he's like, "Oh, well," because what he says, he goes, "Why didn't we ever talk like this when I worked at Gold's?" I was like, "Oh, because you didn't have it, bro. Like, it was right. You, man. I was always ready, man. I'm just waiting." He was like, "Oh, makes sense." But what a cool deal that this guy that I thought highly of, that I just like this dude.
Yeah.
And here we are 15 years later, and we're able to have those kinds of conversation with real depth and levity to him that the reason we didn't have it, you weren't capable of it then. Yep. And now he is, man. And it's just, to me, it gives me goosebumps talking about it. It's such a cool journey for guys like you and I who get to have this gift of sobriety, who get to live a different way of life that I've never known prior to this, you know?
Hell yeah. I mean, it just gives us so much better perspective on everything in life when you can think clearly, you know? It's just like, it's mind boggling to me. There's so many things that come to mind. It's like everything is different, and those conversations we have are different. And, you know, I struggle for a long time connecting with people the last few years, you know, because I'm looking for those conversations that you're talking about, you know? And I just feel like unless somebody has some sort of like strong spiritual foundation or they're working some kind of good program, it's hard to have a conversation with anyone, you know? It's just like, I'm like, and that's why dating was like fucking miserable, dude. It was just like, I can't do this. Like, it's not going to happen. Like what I'm looking for and like what I want and a person and a partner, you know, I've raised my standard and my expectations so high because I was asleep for so long and, you know, I didn't really know what the hell was going on for most of my life. And now that I'm clear and I have this self-awareness and this higher consciousness, like I crave that deep connection. So it's like hard to, like, I just felt like, you know, I felt like it was a lost cause until I met my girlfriend now. It was like, oh, there's somebody out. And she's not an alcoholic. She's not in recovery. She just doesn't drink. And she's like very powerful, strong woman who just gets it, man. Like on such a deep level, spiritually, you know, morally, and like, you know, I didn't think that was possible to find someone like that, you know, but you know, those conversations that you're talking about are, you know, those are such gifts when we get to have them with people and we get to connect with people on a deeper level, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And you know, everybody has a different, like, you know, we can get into some deep, weird stuff but everybody has their different levels, what they're comfortable with. And, you know, the folks that I seem to relate to the best, are the folks who have had there's pain has, for me, pain's always been the catalyst, right? And for those folks, it seems like pain was the catalyst, for them to seek and change. And one of the things about, my friend that I work for now is, because you can't fake it, right? Like at some point I can probably come up with some cool phrases and learn some lingo. It's just like being in treatment, right? It's like
one-liners and shit.
Yeah, man. Like I know how to disguise things, right? Yeah. So, but like when you keep peeling back, you know, that the depth of struggle and change and coming out the other side, you know, it was funny. So I'm meeting with the CEO for the first time and the VP, you know, this several hundred million, just have what was soon to be a $1 billion company. I'm meeting with the CEO and the CEO is the one who really, I give a lot of credit to as far as mentoring my friend that I work with. And he, because all these other folks that I work with, they only see this after product, right? They see this guy who's really one of the best in the nation at what he does. But what this CEO got to see is who this guy was before, and he got to experience that change, right? And that's very unique, because not a lot of folks, there's me, another friend of mine that the three of us all hang out together, and this CEO, we've all seen that change in him. And I thought, so I'm meeting the CEO for the first time. It's on a hunting trip. I don't know how much you know about my hunting experience.
I've seen some of your pictures and stuff. I'm jealous.
Yeah that's all. Well, those are all the hunting trips I've been. I've been on four of them, right? Since I started.
And those are all the pictures.
Those are all the pictures, right? So, and then I realized these guys just invite me because they're very good hunters, right? Mm-hmm. So they hit their limit so quick. They just want my limit. That's all that is. But. Yeah, so I meet this CEO for the first time. We're on a dove hunt. It's you know, 6:30 a.m. Sun's just coming up.
Duck hunt?
And my buddy introduces me. He goes, so, hey, so-and-so, the CEO, and so-and-so, the VP. So Tony's been sober for 24 years. It's like, all right, man. That's normally not how I meet.
That's not what you open with.
I think he had heard enough about me and over the years from this guy to where it was totally fine. It was I don't want to say totally appropriate, but these guys are totally awesome.
Yeah,
guys found solid foundation on both those guys. But God, what an interesting way to meet the top of your company and one of the tops in the industry.
Yeah, that's funny. Let me just circle back to this COVID thing. So you had COVID.
I did. Talk,
tell me about it. Like, I mean, I have one other really good friend who had it. But other than that, I don't know anybody else who had it.
So I got it. My wife got it. We have a small little cottage home in downtown Houston, three bedrooms. My stepson had just graduated college. He was staying with us at the time, and he never got it, right? And we have a small little house. So, so my office got it. So I remember I had a fever, didn't feel that good. We're supposed to go meet with a sponsee in the morning. We're going to do some step work. And I call him. He's got two young boys. I said, hey, man, I think I got a slight fever. I'm just going to stay in. And then later that day, I just kept feeling worse and worse. So it was literally, man, I don't want to minimize it for the folks who do have something a complication that would be detrimental. But for me, for everybody in my office that got it, because there's a bunch of them. And I wasn't the first one to get it. I want to make sure I'm not the guy spreading it in the office.
Right, you're not the super spreader.
No. But it was this other cat. He's an awesome guy. Nevertheless, it felt like the flu, like just kind of like not a super severe, but I mean, I was down for, cause it is, I guess, the type of flu, but I was down for like 3 days, like where I just am uncomfortable, headache, hot, cold, you know, just flu symptoms.
Yep.
The only thing that was weird was the smell and taste. And then a couple days after I got, like, so right when I kind of went this, like, 3 day, maybe 4 day, and then you start coming back up on the, after that, right when I started coming back up, it was my wife's birthday and she caught it from me. And we, you know, we both got tested. We both tested positive. My stepson tested and he was negative. And, but now he's stuck with us in this house because he's got a quarantine until where everybody's good. But, that was it, man. You're nervous because you hear a lot of the media hype and, you know, my stepdaughter is a doctor up at Parkland Hospital. So she's got a different perspective than everybody else because she's going to see the worst of the worst. And, you know,
she's a doctor there.
Yeah. She's finished up her third year of residency right now. Wow. And, yeah, she's awesome, man. She's awesome. Her husband's awesome. They're great folks. Very, very fortunate, but yeah, man, we had it. That was it. That was kind of it. Yeah. And then it's like, you start reading, it's like, sometimes the smell never comes back. Right. And I don't know, man. It wasn't that big of a deal to me.
You got your smell back?
About 3 weeks later, two to 3 weeks. And, you know, I figure it's 100% back. I don't know. Maybe I'm 90%. I don't know. But, yeah, man. So you make it through that. And then, like, I'm thinking, okay, I'm immune. Don't have to worry about anything now.
Yeah.
And then my stepdaughter's telling my mom. So we just had somebody came down with the second time, readmitted. Huh? It's like, oh, so now, yeah, so you can get it more than once.
Really?
Yeah. So,
I didn't know that.
But, you know, I do the things I'm supposed to do in society, which is wear a mask. And it's not because I'm a big mask guy. It's because, man, I want to respect the folks around me. So I'll just do that thing or not go to those places. But to me, it's, you know, because I say that, man, watch next week. I don't want to jinx it. By next week, I'm all of a sudden having breathing problems and I'm in bed with more COVID. But yeah, it wasn't for us. It was uncomfortable. I don't want to do it again. I didn't like being sick, but it wasn't like, you know, I've been through worse stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like with like the treatments and stuff that they have now, medications and like what we know about it, it's just like, it's not any worse than, I mean, I don't know. I'm not an epidemiologist I'm not a doctor of any kind, but, you know, I just, my opinion is like, it's a little bit more blown out of proportion, but you get sick. It sucks getting sick. Yeah. It's just like everything else. It's like, we're not closing the fucking world down because of the flu every year either. So,
you know. Well, you can't, I think it just caught fire and just people ran with it. But yeah, man, like if you look at like, I don't know, we can just look at diabetes. Cause that's,
we're not talking about it. Like, we're not talking about any of it.
Well, we've been talking about it for a couple of decades working in health and fitness.
Right.
And
but it's not nationally a concern.
But it should be. It should be a better concern than COVID because there's a lot more people with a lot more problems.
For all the reasons, plus it makes COVID worse when you get COVID. You know? I mean, it's funny they didn't you didn't hear the media talking anything about like how unhealthy it is to be overweight with COVID and what you should do that, you know, to combat that until the president got it. And then they're like, oh, he's overweight. So that makes him, oh, now you want to talk about he's overweight. Okay. I got you. Right on.
Yeah, man. So I can't do like, number one, I just don't have the time, but I just don't do that much news. I got a couple things that I listen to. Just kind of keep up on world events and stuff. And then that's it, man. I have to be, you know, just cause there's just so much garbage out there.
It's insane right now. It's just nonsense. It's insane. So, and I'm somebody who's like planted firmly in the middle. Like, I'm independent. I'm planted firmly in the middle. I believe what I believe, which I don't talk about unless somebody asks me and I'll tell them. But outside of that, it's like, it's not in my business, man. I got to stay in my lane. There was a few months ago that I kind of got wrapped up into some of the shit on Facebook when I had way too much time on my hands and I was just like, whoa, what am I doing? I had to like cut it off. I'm like, go back and delete all this shit that I posted and like clean it up, like get,
get back in your lane, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here to help people and share hope and like encourage people and inspire people and motivate people. I'm not here to talk about fucking politics.
I think I saw some of that on Instagram. I was like, on Facebook, and I was like, oh man.
I mean, I'll throw something out there once in a while, but like, I can't, like, I'll throw it out there and then I leave.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Throw it out there and leave. Don't look at it.
Well, and man, like, you know, like, I just, here's what I know to be a fact. Both sides are wrong.
Exactly. Like, they always are.
Yeah. So, you know, and that, you know, it comes back to when I put my faith in things like, government's going to be amoral by, you know, it's just like business, man. Both those things are going to be amoral. Like, you know, they don't live by principles. They feast on fear. And so that's cool, man. I'm going to go vote.
Yeah.
Not going to be for either of the guys running. Right. And so,
for sure, voting.
I was told the other day that, you're wasting a vote. It's like, man, you vote differently than me because guess what? I'm exercising my choice. Now, in the past, I would tell folks that you know, perhaps I saw somebody for one party. Now I would just tap them and go, hey, man, I'm going to vote the other way just to cancel yours because I'm sometimes just a passive aggressive dick. But I've not done that in this election year yet. So,
yeah.
You know, and I don't plan to. I do plan on voting. Maybe I'll write in Pat King. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So I was going to, planning on a trip to come out there when I was wandering around the United States. And, you know, then I got drugged back here and, but I still want to come out and visit you in Texas. The problem is if I come to Texas, there's a really high probability that I won't leave because I live in Virginia.
You got a warrant?
I live in Virginia. And I'm independent, I'm a conservative leaning independent. And so living in Virginia is a little rough, especially Northern Virginia. Southern Virginia, it doesn't, you know, whatever. But like where I live, it's like, oh, hardcore left liberal and just like, oh my God. So it's hard to just be in the center here. Like, you know, like you're shamed for just being in the center on your views. And it's just like, I mean, everyone's going to Texas. Like you got half of California this year alone, I think.
Yeah, but that's because of Governor Newsom and the craziness going on out there, man.
Insane.
Listen, man, I listened to Bernie Sanders on Rogan, and I thought, man, that guy really has some great ideas. And in a perfect world,
right?
I mean, that sounds like just I'm 100% on board. The reality is, none of that stuff's going to work in our current system. So
not right now,
so we have to
someday, but not now.
Yeah, not right now. And so you get a lot of people coming out to Texas. But what I really believe is that most people are closer to the middle.
Yeah.
But because, you know, extremists on both sides have such a loud voice because of things like social media. And, you know, whenever you think the problem is outside yourself, you know, the problem's going to be you then, right? Because until you realize, like, I'm the problem, there is no solution, right? Yeah, and so it's some folks do it just because the way I grew up, man, I always thought things were happening to me. It was conditional. It was, you know, because of these external forces, I'm in this situation. And that just allows me to stay in that situation until I realize, okay, like I in all relationships, I own 50%. It doesn't matter, you know, what that person did to me. What was my response? Did I react instead of respond? There's a great book called Above the Line by Urban Meyer, which I was not an Urban Meyer fan. Now I'm hoping he's the next coach of UT, but unless Tom Herman can get it together. But you know, what Above the Line talks about, he talks about E plus R equals O, and it's event plus response equals the outcome. And so much of my life was spent reacting, right? I'll just text it to you. E plus R equals O, event plus response equals outcome. And, you know, I think it was 2014 when they won, when Ohio State, was it 2014 or 15? I think it was 15. When Ohio State won the national championship, they had that amazing season with just a ton of future NFLers on their, you know, Zeke Elliott and a bunch of other guys on that team. You know, they talked, you know, this is literally, man, I was just saying, I got a bunch of books in front of me. I've got it right in front of me. My stepson bought this for me.
Check it out.
And so my stepson bought this for me, and I thought, nice. Man, that's, I'm not an Urban Meyer fan.
Right.
You know, cause I knew, you know, who was at Florida, which you talked about in here, but really it's just, it's a book on leadership, and, you know, I highlight the hell out of everything when I read it. So I'm going through it for the third time now. We've got a group at work where we're doing, you know, just a book review of this, but I get this book a couple years ago. I start reading it, show up at the office, and this is the book they're wanting to cover. I thought, how cool is that? But, nice. You know, it's my response to whatever event that's happened. And I can choose how I respond. Right. And that response, you know, the event's going to happen, you know, either with or without my permission, there's going to be an event. And I get to choose how I respond, and that will determine the outcome, whether it's successful or not, or, you know, somewhere in the middle. But you know, so much of my life was spent reacting, right? Like, yeah,
that's everything.
It's how I ended up getting in so many fights. It's how you end up with assault charges. It's how you end up, you know, failing at life. And so you go talk to folks who are, you know, struggling, whether it be, you know, somebody who's locked up, somebody who's in treatment, somebody who just got passed over for a promotion, and you know, they'll tell you how they you know, if it's my fault, I can make a correction, I can adjust, but if it's because my boss hates me and this and this, well, now you're in trouble, right? If it's because this cop's against me, it's like, man, like, you know, or I could not be in that section of town at 2:30 in the morning, you know, with some weed in my pocket, right?
Yeah, like you could be not breaking the law and remove yourself from the equation.
Yeah. You know how many times I've been arrested since I've been sober?
None.
Yes, right. Like, there might, I haven't found it necessary to get in a fight since I quit drinking. It you know, there's been a couple times that I wanted to, but I just couldn't find a spiritual principle to base it on, right? Yeah. So could be me. You know, it might be the external factors, but the evidence is pointing at me. And so he talks about, you know, everything being above the line behavior. Mm-hmm. He talks about no BCD, which is blame, complain, and defend. Man, I spent years of sobriety in BCD. You know, when we first met, when I worked at Gold's Gym International, and we were both having a lot of success. But man, I would blame, complain, and defend my position over and over again. And the other night, I was talking to my wife, and I'm telling her a story about work, and in the middle of it, I had to pause and think, because I didn't want to blame, complain, or defend. And really, I didn't want to blame or complain about an individual at work. So I just had this really long, like 30-second pause in the middle of my story. And she's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm trying not to BCD.
Yeah.
And I just worked through that in my head,
yeah.
You know, and because, you know, I don't need to put that out there. It's not, it doesn't help anything, you know? So, it's a practice, and I'm not 100% at it, but man, it makes a huge difference in my life.
I mean, that's the thing about it. It's just like I was talking yesterday on a video about like the awareness and the work that we have to do every day. It's like, we don't just arrive in this new being. Like we're like, oh, I'm here. Like, it's daily work. And the better you want to get in every area of life, the more work it requires every day. So, you know, and I think, you know, it goes back to what I was talking about earlier about, you know, generating self-awareness. And I don't think people really know what that means, like to become more self-aware, and to be honest with yourself, and talking about personal accountability. Like, I don't care what people's views and beliefs are, or where they're from, or, you know, who they, none of that matters to me. Like, all I care about is their behavior and their morals. Like, what kind of person are you? How do you treat others? You know? So I think it comes back to, you know, just being aware and
being honest and having personal accountability, you know, and not reacting to things. And, you know, we have to look at ourselves. It's like the old saying, it's like, if you want to change the world, you got to change yourself first. If you want to change anything, you have to look at yourself first. Like, cause only thing that we can control is how we respond and how we react and how we treat others during that process. Like that's the only thing that's in our control. Everything else is like, you're not only wasting your time and killing yourself, killing your soul, but you're fucking up other people along the way, you know? And it's just not cool.
Well, I agree. And one of the challenges for me, at least in my experience, man, I started reading this other book. I was reading this book, and it was like my second time through this book. And I would say, get this other book. So I got this other book.
Dude,
and, I got so many. I'm book backlogged. And I quit doing junkie. The downloads, yeah. Right? I just do. I got to have the hardcover. Mm. And just because that's how I retain stuff, right? Yep. I still got some Audible stuff that I do when I'm in the car. But I start reading this book. And essentially, man, like, it just kind of changed the way the messages I would tell myself, right? Like nobody's gonna be as hard as me as I'm gonna be on me. Nobody's gonna be as critical on on Tony as Tony's gonna be on Tony. And so we go through our days where we just are just so in treatment, they'll call it a self-abuser, right? But like, we'll be just so in ways that we don't even recognize, at least that's been like, in ways I don't even recognize. I'm being self-critical. And so, you know, there's a series of practices. I keep one on my phone and I just read it every morning. And it just talks about, just, you know, things to say when I talk to myself. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and then we, you know, I had this there's a 22-year-old guy at our office, and he's really struggling. And so we had a conversation about this the other day. It's like, man, like your life, you know, because I always ask people, like, hey, what time do you get up? You know, because I get up at 6 a.m. every day, Monday through Saturday, Sunday. I sleep in a little bit, you know, and I literally, my alarm set, because it says winners wake up, because winners wake up at 6 o'clock. You got to beat the sun up. And I didn't go to bed till 12:30 last night. And I got up 15 minutes earlier because I knew we were doing this. So I got up at 5:45. But, you know, the discipline of getting up at that time, I can build on that for the rest of the day. Right. And then I do my morning routine, and then I do, you know, so I've got a routine going. And so I'll ask folks, you know, when they're struggling, like, I want to find out, cause it's usually the discipline. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I was not having the type of life that I wanted to, but I was having financial success in real estate, I was waking up at somewhere between 8 and 8:30, whenever I got up, and I would go to bed when, you know, and it was just this undisciplined life. Mm-hmm. The financial rewards were there, but the rest of the life was a wreck. And I spent so much time trying to keep it looking good. And so when I'm talking to guys like that, I want to know a little bit, because I can tell you, it's typically an undisciplined life, because I'm 45 years old, and I just, you know, I started doing this stuff, you know, I don't know, a few months back, but it's been consistent. So I want to keep building on it. But the things that we say in our head, those are the things that over time we become, right? And so if I want to, you know, if I want to be a winner, I gotta convince myself that I'm a winner first. You got to win the battle between the ears, right? It's you know, I was on a call the other day, and they said, you know, this industry that I'm in, they said, you know, you don't try this company, you don't try this business out, it tries you out. Because it's you know, the selling part of selling stuff, that's not difficult. What's difficult is getting up every day, going into the grind, having hearing no all day long, and then having the mental fortitude to get up and go to the next with the same fervor and attitude, man. And
reset most days every time. Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, yesterday I was having a tough day, and I ended up having, you know, what months ago would have been like, dude, I'm freaking having a great week now. Right. And like I was getting home, it's like, man, but like what I'm telling myself is that's not enough. And you, and it's good to have grind, but for me, like it can get into, okay, now we're moving past that, and it's becoming unhealthy because now I'm just beating up on myself again. So so the message is, because we're a compilation for our thoughts. So the, you know, talking with this kid, we're talking about that. It's like, dude, for 22 years you thought one way. Why do you think if you just make a decision today that it's going to also be better? It's you know, the three frogs sitting on a log, one decides to jump. How many are left? Yeah, three, right? Because he just made a decision, didn't take any action. And so for the discipline of my life to get the results that I'm looking for, it's got to be consistent discipline. Yep. You know, and it's the same. I applied the principles of 12-step program to my exercise life, and I started having success with that. And I was like, oh, and I'll apply that to my work life. And then I started having success with that. But with both things, you're going to hit a plateau, right? And then we have to expand our skill set. And then what happens to a lot of us is we find some ways to, I don't have to work as hard to get the results. I don't have to go to the gym, you know, 5 days a week. And I can be a little sloppy with my diet because I kind of identified some ways that my body will respond and I can get away with less. And I don't have to prospect quite as hard to get the same results. And then you do that long enough, then all of a sudden that ethic, that work ethic drops down. And all of a sudden you're like, why am I 215 pounds, right? Yeah. Instead of, you know, like 195. And why am I not having the success in these other areas? And it comes back to like, dude, we got complacent.
Mm-hmm.
And then those messages come back. And, you know, so for me, it's constantly having to build upon that. And, you know, listen, man, we can talk in 3 months.
Yeah.
It could be a different spot, but here's what I know for today.
It's today,
today I got up on time and I'm going to do the things necessary. That's why we had to delay this for a little bit because, man, I've got a commitment of this is how I start my day every single day.
Yeah.
You know, so that's I'll keep awesome. Going, man. You got to shut me up.
Dude, you're good, man. You're good. I love this shit. So a couple of things that you talked about that I would like to touch on is you're talking about the conversations we have with ourselves and how we talk to ourselves. Last year was in November, December last year. I took the certification course for neurolinguistics programming. So I would highly recommend people, if you want to learn about like the talk, like how we speak to ourselves and in our thoughts and conversations we have with ourselves and how powerful that is and how it biologically changes us. And I mean, we can get even into Joe Dispenza reprogramming our DNA, but I don't want to go that far. I mean, I would recommend people take a neurolinguistics course. You can get one cheap on like Udemy for like $100, maybe a couple $100. I don't know. There might even be some free ones out there, but and you don't have to do the certification. You can take these courses and not get certified. You can just take the course. I would recommend people, especially people that are committed to change, because until we can rewire our brains and our beliefs and how we talk to ourselves and understanding, again, the awareness, until we can start understanding these things, like on a deeper level, it's hard to make lasting change. So, I mean, I would just recommend if you want something to do, you got some free time, or just sign up for one of these neurolinguistics programming courses, and it'll change your life. You know, I mean, it will change how you look. I mean, I found a downside to it though, is that I analyze everything that comes out of everyone's mouth and like looking for a deeper meaning behind what they're saying. It kind of is annoying sometimes, but it works. Yeah. It's great for communication.
No. Well, so it's funny you bring up NLP, man. So back in 2005, 2006, maybe 2004. So there was a book that came out by, I think it was Neil Strauss, called The Game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you ever read that. It's a great read. No. The New York Times bestseller, but it was about this guy. He's just kind of this nerdy writer for Rolling Stone. And he goes and he's doing a book on this, a pickup artist. And I think they later did like a reality TV show on this guy he was following around. And throughout this book, he becomes this really successful pickup artist. Mm-hmm. And so they would hold these seminars of, you know, they would teach these guys who, you know, maybe are struggling, not maybe, who are struggling to have success with women. They would teach them how to pick up women. And so I read this book. So my buddy of mine told me to read it, and I was like, "Cool." So one of the things that these guys would do is they would do, some of them would do an LP to manipulate a situation to get what they want out of that relationship. Long story short, it was effective. It also, these guys, it was all based on, you know, things that were hollow and bullshit. And you know, this guy Neil Strauss later goes into, I think he went to into recovery for sexual addiction. It ruined all his relationships. Blah blah blah. But great read. But yeah, when he said NLP, I hadn't heard that in a long time, and I remember reading that book. And they talked. And the book isn't about that. The book's just about his journey into this world. But the friend of mine that recommended it, who man, he went to one of those seminars and he paid a bunch of money and he became really good at picking up women. He's a nice guy, but like, you know, at the time he was 30 years old living with his dad, right? Like,
he just used that education and NLP to manipulate people better and basically.
Well, yeah, it was a script. And so then, you know, so then I see him for a couple of years and I see him again and go, "Hey, how's it going with, you know, your personal life with women?" He's like, "Yeah, man, it's right back to where it was before." Because he quit, you know, because at some point you got to let that guard down and not be a manipulative prick. And you need to be like just who you are. And that's, you know, that's what the relationship's going to be built on. Well, if you put up this facade of, I mean, it's just, you're starting off wrong.
Yep. But
anyways.
Yeah. So the other thing was, you talk about your habits a lot, and that's one of the things I preach. And you know, I don't know if you've read Atomic Habits, James Clear, phenomenal book. But yeah, man, the habits we do every day, it's just like, that's like, that was a game changer for me, like changing everything in my life. It's like I put it into my whatever it is, I put it into my habits. And like, I want to, you know, if I want to be a different person, then I got to look at, like, if I want to be this, if I have an idea, first of all, if you want to change anything or become anyone, you got to be clear on who you want to be. And once you're clear on who you want to be and what that person looks like, then start looking at the habits and behaviors that a person like that would do, you know, and then you start adopting those habits. And, you know, so Atomic Habits was huge for me, James Clear, and he's got a companion journal, a habit journal that I still use. It's one of my many journals. I got like five different journals for different things. So, but that's one of the journals I use. And like, even still to this day, every day I track my habits and I'm paying attention to what I'm doing. And I have a core group. I have core habits, and then other things I add in, I take out, let me try this for a while, let me do that for a while. And you know, I'm in all this biohacking stuff. So I'm always adding in little things like cold showers and all kinds of stuff just to see how they affect me, you know, physically, neurologically, things of that nature. But, you know, we're our habits, you know, we are what we do. So
talk to me about the cold showers, man. I've heard other folks talk about that. I've turned the dial down a couple times and I always think, man, screw that noise. I'm going back to like the regular. So what, Did you do that for a sustained period? Did you have any type of positive? What was the outcome?
So what I noticed is, you know, I started with like 30 seconds. You know, you can start as low as you want, like 30 seconds every day, and add 10 seconds at the end of the week. Add 10 seconds, or you know, it's just like everything. It's like you got to work your way into something. If you go in and turn the shower on ice cold and you try to stand there for 5 minutes, you're gonna fail. Okay. It's not going to work, and you're never going to want to fucking do it again because it's miserable. But just start with doing the dial like you did. Just change the dial, change the temperature for a little while. And so what I noticed, so for me, one of the reasons I started doing it, like aside from all the biohacking and like the physical neurological benefits you get from it, I did it as part of creating
new discipline in my life. And I started doing it back before COVID, like back in maybe November, December. But then when COVID came and like I was sitting on my hands and like I was like I had too much time on my hands and I was like I was letting habits slip and like I'm like and I didn't know what the fuck was going on every day. Like I don't like what am I doing today? You know what I mean? Work was like so I used it as an opportunity to build more discipline. And I became extremely disciplined in all bunch of different areas. And a cold shower to me was part of that discipline. It's like I was talking about with fasting. It's like, if you can go without food for long periods of time when you're hungry, you can do anything. And if you can take a cold shower every day and continue to push that temperature or the time and temperature a little bit as you go, if you can do that every day, you're creating some awesome habit of discipline. So for me, I started doing it, you know, mostly for the discipline. And then the other benefits, I noticed like better circulation. I have like terrible osteoarthritis, dude. Like I got like all my joints and bones from the years of lifting. And like, it's just like, and you know, I had back surgery a couple years ago and like, I got another one I'm supposed to have and another disc in my neck. And so like physically I'm a fucking train wreck when I get out of bed in the morning, like everything hurts. So of course, diet plays a lot into that as well. But so I noticed that it helped me with circulation. It helped me with pain. I used to think the opposite. I used to think that I had to get into the shower to a hot shower so I could get everything loosened up and warmed up. It's like, well, it feels good temporarily, but just heat adds inflammation. So it doesn't really work that way. So when I started doing the cold showers, I noticed that I was in a lot less pain, you know, on a daily basis, like throughout the day when I was doing it every single day. And I noticed like the neurological benefits from it. When the gym was open, before the gym's closed, I was going to the gym and I was doing like a 20-minute sauna meditation. And then I'd go from the sauna straight into a cold shower for like 2 minutes. And that was intense. When I left there, bro, I felt like I was like, my mind was like, almost felt like a drug. Like, should I be doing this? Like, am I getting high? Because I feel high, you know, but I was on fire all day. Like what it does neurologically for us is extremely beneficial. And if you do it consistently, you'll start noticing a difference.
Interesting. All right, I'm gonna write that down. I'm not committing to it yet, yeah. but
check out Wim Hof. Have you heard of Wim Hof? Look up. He's got an app. It's called. Let me find it. I got a million of these biohacking apps. It's called Wim Hof. WIMHOF, and he's got an app now that takes you through, he teaches breathing, specifics on how breathing is beneficial. And part of that, part of the breathing is, part of the benefits of the cold shower is training your mind to not go like, you know, tense up and like stop breathing. Cause that's typically what we do when we jump into something cold. It's like, we tense up and we stop breathing. So part of the discipline you learn is to control your breathing with your mind when you get into that cold. Instead of immediately tensing up, you use your mind, you're training your mind like a muscle, you're training it every day not to tense up. And then you train it to be calm. And then you train it to breathe, actually do slow breathing type meditation while you're in that cold water. And you're totally relaxed and like just, you're in a state where you didn't think was possible. While you're in cold water, you're just like this relaxed, chill, like meditative state while this cold water's pouring over you. So it's work to get there, and but it's a discipline, you know, and there's so many benefits to it. So, but the Wim Hof method is really good, and the app can kind of take you through some of the protocol, like for beginners, because it's like I said, it's you can't just jump in there and expect to master your cold showers.
Good things, good things to start happening.
Like I feel better, you know. Most people get in, they're like, fuck, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, I'm of that variety.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this with the back, because I've got a couple of herniated discs, and in 2016 I had an epidural so I could do the Ironman Texas, and then I started working with a guy that used to work for me as a trainer. He's got a PT studio. And so by the time I went to Ironman Barcelona 2 years later, I didn't need any type of, I didn't have any pain on the entire race as far as my back. I had other pains, but as far as my L4, L5, I didn't have any type of, and it was just through doing different exercises, getting it going. So since then, I've been doing consistently for the last 18 months, I've been doing yoga a couple times a week. And so what I find is I get some tightness every now and then after running, but I don't have pain like I used to have. I don't have, I know what you're talking about. It was like, I remember when I was running a gym and after a training session, man, I had my back seized up. I was like, oh, this is new pain. And it was a challenge for a lot of years. So if you done any type of Pilates, yoga, any type of PNF type stretching to help with any of that and get things in better alignment or strengthen around it?
The best thing you can do is the core exercises, and really the stronger your core is, the better off you are. And that's one of the things that saved me over the years, is that I have a strong core. Because with as bad as my degenerative discs and osteoarthritis is, had I not had a strong core, I might not be walking, honestly. Yeah, yoga is extremely helpful. That's something that, dude, it's one thing I just haven't gone all in on that I've been talking about for years. Every time it comes up, I'm like, oh, yeah, I need some more yoga in my life, And but I don't do it. I love hot yoga. Like, that's intense. I like it.
That is intense.
So I just feel like the regular yoga, it's just not intense enough for me. There's like, not enough. Yeah, it hurts, but I'm like, I like to torture myself. Like I like to do everything that's hard. Everything. It's like, what's the hardest version of yoga? Hot yoga. Fuck it. Let's do that. Like, and I love that, but it's just, it's commitment. It's time. It's like habit. You're making it a habit and doing it routinely. So absolutely. Yoga is very beneficial if you can do it on a regular basis. Pilates is great. It goes back to, and just incorporating those core exercises every single, not every day, but like, a few times a week, spend 15, 20 minutes, working on your core, and that should be sufficient,
Yeah. And so like, most weeks I'll get in, two, at least one, and that has been sufficient, and just paying attention to other things. But, absolutely. It's been a game changer for me. I'm squatting again, so I'm not going heavy,
right,
but I can squat and then not pay for it until, for the next week, until it's time to go do legs again. So it's definitely made a difference. So man, I think we're at 8:15. So
all right, brother.
I'm running a little short, but dude, man, it's really good to talk to you, man.
You too, man. It's awesome. All right, brother. So good to catch up.
I'm glad. I look forward to hearing more about this girlfriend at some point in the near future, and hopefully
I'm about to drag her out to Texas with you.
There you come on, man. Yeah, let's do it.
Yep, for sure.
All right, brother, great to see you.
Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you coming on the show, and let's catch up real soon.
All right, bro.
All right, brother. Thank you. Take care, everybody. Bye bye.
Hey, thank you again so much for checking out the show. I do very much appreciate it. Listen, if you're a man and you're feeling a little stuck, then this message is for you. This should be the best time of your life. If under the surface you have this feeling of unease, I want you to know that you're not alone. I've been there, and I've found a way to use my experience to increase my self-awareness and improve my sense of purpose and to add more drive to my life. Now I want to show you how to do the same. Reach your hand out and I'll help you break free. Look, I'm no Tony Robbins, and I'm not a Marine or drill sergeant. I'm just a real guy that's overcome a lot of adversities, including extreme alcoholism, other addictions, life-threatening diseases, divorces, losing all my life savings. That's just to name a few. And I've been through all that
multiple times. But the biggest one for me has been self-worth. Over the past 4 years, I've been building a system of the exact same tools and processes to help other men overcome the shit in their lives that I've gone through. I'm launching a brand new program at the end of October, but I'm looking for a few guys, literally a couple, maybe two or three, to mentor on a much deeper level before then, leading up to the program. If you sign up for the program within the next week, you'll get a one-on-one mentor session with me every week at no additional cost, all the way up until the group program starts. And although I'm selling a course, this is not a sales pitch. I truly want to take two or three guys through this process on a much deeper level. It's my passion in life, and it's what really fuels me. And even if you don't sign up for the program, I think that you'll have a good session with me, and you'll have a little bit more clarity to move forward in some other areas of your life. So reach out today and ask me how to get started. This is a private group, so that I ask that you text me personally instead of filling out some kind of online forms or something. My cell phone number is 928-233-5909. Reach out today, and I guarantee you it'll be worth your time. Again, my number is 928-233-5909. Just introduce yourself and let me know you heard this message on the podcast, and we'll hook up and figure out a good time to chat. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the day.